receive mercy whereby we continue to grow and thrive. And we turn to Him because we believe He is Rahim, His mercy is endless and abundant. It's available, but it has to be accessed. And the way to access it is to increase our capacity to be able to receive more from Him. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet of Islam and on his holy progeny, who are the most perfect role models for the guidance of mankind till the end of time. Honorable elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One of our duties as the followers of the Ahlul Bayt is to keep our constant contact with the living Imam. And one of the etiquettes we have been taught is to express that communication and contact with the Imam through the process of the dua, which is recommended to be recited every day in the morning. It's known as dua ahad. And the dua of ahad, the supplication of the covenant, the contract. This dua of ahad has been narrated in two versions, the long version and the short version. We were discussing the short version, and we said that the source, the dua has been mentioned by Allama Majlisi, who quotes it from one of the ancient sources, and he says the proof of its veracity is the content itself. The content corresponds to what the Quran teaches us. And number two, a famous scholar like Sayyid ibn Tawus also has narrated it in his famous book, Muhajjud Da'awat. And number three, the Shia ulama generally have popularly approved and accepted this dua. Next slide, please. He said the outline of this dua can be broken down into these five basic themes. It's basically salutations and greetings. Before we make our contract, we greet. Allahumma balligh mawlaya sahib al-zaman. So we are sending greetings to someone. Who is that someone? The longer version identifies the characteristics of why he's the Imam. Mawlana and Imam al-Hadi al-Mahdi and the one who is going to rise up. Number two. The greetings to him is from whom? Primarily from me, the reciter. But the adab of the dua is, I should expand my prayer. I should include my close relatives, my parents, my family. No, I should go even beyond. عن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها سهلها وجبلها برها وبحرها حيهم وميتهم. On behalf of all the believers, be they on land or on in the sea, mountainous or flat land, or be they living or be they dead, on behalf of all of them, I want to express my greetings to you. Why? Reciprocally, because in return, the grace that we receive expands to reach out everyone. The grace that we get from the Imam reaches out to everyone. Number three, what greetings do we want to send to you? من الصلوات والتحيات. I want to send the best of the greetings, the most plentiful of greetings. How much plentiful? We stopped here last time and we said that as much as is possible. How can I express how much is possible? Three expressions. Zinata arshillah, the measure, zina meaning wazn, the measure of the arsh of God, which is the seat and the throne, the expression of the central authority, the expansive knowledge and the unlimited power of God, the arsh, zinata arshillah, wa midada kalimatih, and what is written by the pen, which writes his words. It's metaphorical, I'll just explain what it means. وَمُنْتَهَا رِضَاهُ وَعَدَدَ مَا أَحْصَاهُ كِتَابُهُ. And whatever his book has enumerated, وَأَحَاطَ بِهِ عِلْمُهُ. and whatever his knowledge has encompassed. Basically, as wide as the creation. I want to send salawat. I want to send the grace and the blessings and the mercy to him as wide as the creation. Why? Because reciprocally, as wide as the creation receives grace from God through his medium and channel. Next slide, please. We've already discussed his greetings to whom. Next slide, please. Greetings from whom? From all brothers. Next slide, please. Greetings on behalf of parents also. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. We reached at this point. As far wide as his words, are there. In Surah Kahf and in Surah Luqman, the expansiveness of the words of God is referred to. Chapter 31, ayah number 27. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ. How to express the limitless creation of God. Incidentally, the words of God mean the creation of God. True, in the Quran, certain creatures have been specifically referred to as Kalimatullah. For example, Isa, Ruhullah. However, in other verses, everything else has been labeled as the word of God. In what sense are we the words of God? In the sense that a word is spoken by a conscious speaker, and that word is a reflection of that speaker. It's a manifestation of that speaker. You want to know what my soul thinks and knows? You listen to my words. The words reflect me. They reflect my knowledge. In the case of God, the words of God, the physical creation, reflect not only his knowledge, but also his wisdom, also his mercy, also his power, also his majesty. They express basically his beautiful names. Kalimatullah. And they're so expansive. This ayah tells us that if all the trees on the earth were to become pens, وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ, and if the sea were to be converted to ink, and مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرُ, and not only one sea, but all seven times the seas were to be converted to ink, مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ, the words of God would still not be described. Why? Because they are plentiful. Why? Because they are continuously being created. Why? Because our capacity to understand them is limited. Why? look at it this way. The universe is so massive and huge. The most powerful telescopes, forget the one which can pick up visual signals, the one that can pick up energy in any form. The most powerful telescopes can only tell us where the last entity could send the light or energy to us. We're not sure. There's nothing beyond. We cannot see as far. So the expansiveness of the universe itself at the physical level, forget about the non-physical realms. The Quran says the stars are the lowest realm of the sky. وَزَيَّنَّا سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, and we have decorated and adorned the lowest of the skies of the seven heavens with lamps, with bright shining stars. The lowest one, and even the lowest one, we can't even figure out where it ends. And what about those six beyond? We don't know how expansive they are. So the ayah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ. Aziz meaning that he is irresistible. His power cannot be opposed. Aziz, but his power is not indiscriminately used. He is a hakim. He uses his power with wisdom and judiciously. I send my greetings to you as much as can be. How much? As vast as the creation, which is innumerable. Next slide, please. Theme number 4. So I want to send greetings to you from me and from everyone, on behalf of everyone else, as much as can be. After that introductory greetings, the expression of respect, now comes the crux of the dua, the contract. Allahumma inni ujaddidu fi sabihati yawmi hadha. On this day, in the morning, and on every next day, I wish to renew 3 things. Ahdan wa aqdan wa bay'atan fi raqabati. I want to renew this pledge, this promise, this contract, and this covenant. The contract that I accept you as my leader and my master, whom I shall obey. And not only is it a promise, I make it into an aqd. Aqd basically is a bond. Aqidah, faith, is something that the heart binds to and accepts. Aqd as in nikah is a bond that brings the two partners together. Aqd as in a business transaction is what is between a buyer and a seller. Agreement. Aqd here is between the follower, the contract of obedience to the leader and master, and submission to him. And number 3 is bay'ah. Bay'ah means allegiance, but the original word of bay'ah is from bay'ah. Biashara in Swahili is derived from the Arabic bay'un wa shira. Bay'ah is to sell, shira is to purchase. Biashara is to sell and purchase and buy. Bay'ah is allegiance. I sell myself to you, my master. Not only do I promise to obey, not only do I confirm with aqd my obedience. Oh, I'm going one step ahead. I am ready to sell and to give what? My time, my energy, my obedience, my possessions, my honor, my flesh and blood. That's the highest level now. It depends to what extent the individual is ready to commit himself. But the important thing we need to realize is this. Basically, we don't have a choice in one sense. In that once we realize who the true leaders and masters are, we're bound to pay them allegiance. If we don't, then we're punishable. Notice this this ayah in Surah Fath, chapter 48, ayah number 10. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ. O Prophet, those who came and made bay'ah to you. This bay'ah refers to the bay'ah after Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet wanted to come and perform Umrah, and they blocked, the mushrikeen blocked him from entering into Mecca. And one of the Sahaba was sent to negotiate, and then the news came that he has been arrested. Rumors were there, perhaps he had been also killed. At that time, the Muslimin gathered, and they renewed their pledge of allegiance, which they did the first time in the Aqaba, in the 12th and the 13th year of the Prophet's stay in Mecca. A small group that came in the clandestine way, in the darkness of the night, from Yathrib to Mecca at the time of Hajj. They met the Prophet in Mina, and they made their bay'ah with him. That bay'ah was now renewed. We pledge our allegiance to accept you as our leader, 1, to obey you, 2, to defend you, 3, to defend you with our possessions, A, to defend you with our lives, B, if necessary. That contract was renewed. Once it was renewed, Allah praises it, Allah commends it, Allah supports it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. True, they make bay'ah with you, but actually they're making bay'ah with Allah. Why? Because you're the representative of God. You speak nothing but what that is inspired to you by God. if you are happy, it is God's pleasure. If you are displeased, it's God's displeasure. They're making basically bay'ah with you to obey you, and therefore to obey God. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. True, it's the Prophet's hand, and true, it's the believer's hand. But Allah who has no hand. Allah's hand is above that, metaphorically. Allah supports it. Allah accepts it. Allah approves it. Next slide, please. Now the dangerous part. Once you have accepted the Prophet and seen him to be the righteously qualified leader, and then you make bay'ah to him, basically now to oppose the Prophet and to break the bay'ah means I have seen the truth and now I deliberately decided to reject it. Incidentally, nobody is going to be harmed but yourself. وَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. Whosoever breaks this bay'ah now, it's for his own detriment. I have made a bay'ah that I shall follow the truth. I recognize the truth that, for example, I can make a nazar, that alcohol is damaging to my health. I shall not drink alcohol. If I do drink alcohol, who are you hurting, God? Are you hurting your own brain, your digestive system, your liver, your heart? You're hurting yourself and probably your mental state. Once you see the truth, one, and understand it, two, and then submit to it, three, later on then, the temptation of shaitan, or the deception of the dunya, or the desires of the nafs, if they then cause you to deviate, Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. The harm comes back to you and yourself, not to God. Oh no. In fact, because now you're hurting the cause of truth by refusing to support it, and because the truth is planned by God to come and dominate over the earth, but it is going to be delayed by your refusal to support, you are punishable. Because now you are blocking the goodness to reach to the maximum of mankind. Electricity can be delivered to the whole of the population. But somebody is deliberately, by negligence, by refusal, by laziness, by corruption, by selfish narrow interest, refusing to work hard enough to ensure it reaches to everyone. Isn't he punishable? Precisely the same reason applies at the spiritual level. وَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى. But if you make wafa, and you're loyal to your pledge, وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَاهَدَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهُ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. In return, in contrast, if a person struggles against the dunya and his temptations, against shaitan and his deviations, against his nafs, and it's pulled towards the animal level of life, he struggles and he lives up to his promise, Allah supports. Allah promises a reward which is unimaginable. Ajran azima. The greatest of the majestic Lord is promising a great reward. Unimaginable. Next slide, please. Finally, the dua ends by saying, now that I've made my contract, it is a serious contract. I recognize it. I commit myself to it. I know whatever dangers and challenges are involved, I'll stand up to it. Lakini, at the same time, I recognize that this state is a state of honor. To be able to be accepted as a follower in the advancement of the cause of truth. And I want to thank you, O Lord. Allahumma bima khasastani bihadihil خصيصة فضيلة وشرفتني بهذا التشريف. And you have given me this ni'mah, and you have given me this fadila, and you have given me this sharaf, this honor, this grace, and this status. I fully recognize that it is you who have enabled me ما بكم من نعمة فمن الله. You should recognize whatever bounty and grace you have, finally it is from God. Look at Surah Nur, chapter 24, in ayah number 10, in ayah number 20, in ayah number 21, Allah keeps on repeating, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. Had it not been for the grace of God on you, had it not been for the mercy of God on you, لَمَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. None of you would have been able to achieve any self-reformation and purification had it not been for God's helping you. Oh Allah, it's an honor to be able to be accepted to this position of being a follower of this model of truth seeking and truth establishing on earth. I acknowledge that this favor is from you and you alone. True, you gave me the ability to think and to recognize the truth. You gave me the freedom to decide. I thank you for that. You gave me the inspiration to look for the truth. I accepted it. I could have rejected it, but you gave me an inspiration. I thank you for that. You gave me the power to say yes. You gave me the power to commit myself to the truth. I say yes and I say thanks to you. That is the meaning of sharaf and fadila and ni'mah. Next slide, please. Now, oh Allah, accept me. Allahumma ja'alni min أعوانه ومن أنصاره وأشياعه والذابين عنه والمستشهدين بين يديه. I want to become his helper. Beyond that, I want to become his protector. Beyond that, I want to be ready to die for him. And that also in a manner whereby we're all united together. Inshallah, we'll discuss this aspect in the next session. Let's pray to Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to appreciate that final goal of creation is achievable, one, because the plan is ready, two, because the leader is waiting, three. The only problem is the conditions have to be right, four. One of the major requirements for that condition to be right is us, me and you. We need to elevate ourselves to qualify. And therefore this dua plays a crucial role in reminding us and alerting us to our duty.